This is Sam McDermott with Charlie Wright, and welcome to Strategic Alpha Investment Advisors and Strategic Investor Radio's 2019 Investment Outlook. Thank you for joining us today. Now, we're going to do our best to keep this upbeat and lively. So, are we ready, Charlie?
Well, Sam, I don't know if we're ready, but I think the markets are, so let's see what they seem to be telling us here.
All right, well, let's make this happen. Now, as you know, as required by our regulators, here is our disclaimer. Appreciate your patience. We're going to give you a moment to just digest all of this wisdom here.
Nothing but fun with this stuff, Sam.
Right? We're putting the you back into fun here, Charlie.
Okay, that's great.
Okay, moving on. So, Charlie, you know, Strategic Investor Radio is starting its fifth year. That's amazing. Congratulations, by the way.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah. What are some of the key things that you've learned as a result of doing this show?
But you know, Sam, it made me realize how little I knew when I started and how little I continue to know here. Our guests are not only a joy to work with, but they are very impressive, bright, experienced people who typically do not take themselves too seriously. I guess the markets keep them humble like in a month or two. Unfortunately, I noticed that Hollywood and television, they haven't seemed to caught the vision of the quality of the people we have in investments. And every time I see a hedge fund manager on a TV show or on a movie or something, oh my goodness, they are the scum of the earth, you know. But for us, the people we have interviewed, they have been wonderful, wonderful people, very knowledgeable, great to work with, and the show has been an absolute delight, Sam.
Well, that's wonderful. And Charlie, testament to you for attracting wonderful people like yourself.
Hey, thank you very much. We'll always take that, Sam. Thank you.
Well, good stuff. Well, on the agenda today is our fourth quarter review, as you can see, our forecast for 2019. And we'll also be looking at some market data, potential 401k allocations, and then ideas for self-directed investors.
Okay, Sam, let's get started here. Well, Sam, you know, there's a saying that God made alcohol to keep the Irish from ruling the world.
No.
And it appears that late 2018 headline news was made to keep the financial markets in turmoil. Lots of issues in the news contributed to big, unexpected, primarily drops in several markets. We could talk all day about how and why this happened, and we still wouldn't know if that's necessarily accurate. But the bottom line is, asset prices declined for reasons that typically were not expected and were very likely not that valid. Now, we hope that they rebound. They have already started to do that, but these are ugly returns, and we hope that they are behind us. So that's where we were last year again. Things are better now, but they went down a lot, and we need to work very hard to see that they come back.
No, let's now look ahead, Charlie, to the expected future. What do we see now?
Well, Sam, let's again consult with two of our previous guests on Strategic Investor Radio, the economist Dr. Bob Dealey and the investment research firm BullMarkets.co. If Troy Bombardia here on the right, who heads Bull Markets, so looks young in his photo, it's because he is young. He is younger than my youngest daughter, okay? He worked in his family's hedge fund for many years, and now he provides his own research. So let's start with Dr. Dealey, as we have done in our previous podcasts here.
Now, Charlie, we've seen these charts in previous reviews. Talk them through us for us, please.
Well, Sam, really, it's easier to understand them than it first appears. On the right, we see the business cycle. Look down below at those arrows. And that business cycle goes through their various phases. It starts with an expansion, as you see, with the green arrow on the right. And that's where we've been basically for the past 10 plus years. And then it goes to a boom phase, which is still positive and upbeat, but not as strong as the expansion period. Then it goes to a recession period. And again, that's a segment of the cycle. That's the way it works. And then when that hits the trough, it goes to a recovery period, and then it starts all over with expansion. So that turnaround can take several years, sometimes longer than others. We cannot blame, should not blame, necessarily or give credit to necessarily the politicians involved at the time. That's just the way that these markets work. So this was published in December, and in December it was the last month, according to Dr. Dealey, of the expansion phase. So now we are in the boom phase. And again, it's not as strong as expansion, but it's not negative, just lower robust opportunities here in those. So we see those happening throughout the rest of the year, well, at least through August, which is as far as Dr. Dealey goes, 9 months. And we don't know how long it will last, how strong it will be. But again, it's not negative news. It's part of the expansion and contraction of the business cycle, and should be fairly strong.
Okay. Now, I know we're looking at this current expansion chart, Charlie. We saw something similar last quarter. What's the good doctor telling us here?
Well, he's showing us that there have been 9 expansions since going back to 1958. And he shows the length in terms of months of each of those expansions. And he shows here, as of December, it had lasted 114 months. And the longest one lasting from 91 to 01 was 120 months. So these things don't last forever. We shouldn't expect them to last forever. They shouldn't last forever. They couldn't last forever. And so no spin forecast. Dr. Dealey shows us that, hey, this is going to end at some time. But right now, we're still basically strong, and things are moving forward. But we shouldn't expect too much and too much longer out of this expansion.
Ah, interesting. So now, what can we learn from Troy's research here?
You know, Troy has done some very interesting analysis of various segments of the U.S. stock market. We're going to talk about 3 of them, but he provides many more. Anyone interested in hearing our Strategic Investor Radio interview with Troy, they can go to, as you see down below here, strategicinvestorradio.com. Just go to November 29, 2018, and you can see that. You can listen to that. He provides a couple of interesting things. First of all, look at the chart on the left. He starts with the approach of one would sell the S&P 500 when the S&P 500 is below its 12-month moving average and when the unemployment rate is above its 12-month moving average. So what that shows is when unemployment is high and the S&P 500 is already struggling, you can count on that as being a bearish move in the market. And so anybody can take their time and look at this chart and see that it has worked that way. And then he shows that there's actually a better, a more accurate prediction, and that is a better signal that than the unemployment rate, and that is initial unemployment claims. And so same thing, when initial unemployment claims rise and the S&P 500 is down over the previous 12 months, okay, that is also a bearish signal for the stock market. So let's just take a look at that to see. So the gray columns here are bear markets. The goldenrod columns are recessions. The initial unemployment claims are in blue, and the S&P 500 is in orange, okay? And so somebody can look on the far right here, starting in 2011, and see the very contrast that unemployment initial claims and the S&P 500 definitely move inversely with each other. And so when we hear about unemployment claims rising, that is definitely a very sign for the market. Things have been going in the right direction, and lots of politicians take credit for it, whether they should or not or whatever. But when they start to rise, that is not going to be a positive sign for the economy and especially for the stock market. So I think it's very interesting. And, it's nothing anybody should invest on all by itself, but it's part of the aggregate of information that comes forward to us here that we can consider. Now, let's take a look at the next one here. Troy, and he does this a lot, okay, really interesting stuff. he saw that the market, S&P 500, had increased over 1.8% for 3 weeks running. So he backtested to see what happened each time that that exact thing has occurred since 1955. And he measured the price performance of the S&P 500 at various time frames, as you can see on the left. So let's focus on the performance of the three-month column. So we see here 13 times since 1955 that the S&P 500 has risen over 1.8% for 3 weeks in a row. And when that happened, 3 months later, what was the S&P 500 price? And so he shows that in only 1 year, 1962, was there a negative return after 3 months. In all 12 of the others, it was a positive return after 3 months.
Wow.
And then he shows the same thing for 6 months. And he shows again that in 12 of the 13 periods that the S&P 500 was up after a 6 month period of time. Again, that's not any, we're not recommending that. We're not recommending, you know, anything about what he says. And he doesn't recommend things. He simply shows us as a research firm that these are the things that are happening, that have happened during these periods. Then he does a similar thing when he took the same 1.8% for 3 weeks in a row while unemployment was less than 6%. Okay. And there were fewer of those, but again, only one in the 3 month or in the 6 month period was a negative return after 3 or 6 months. So I think that's very, very interesting. And again, he does that kind of research. We have no connection with him. That's not why we're talking about this, but I think it's something that's very important and good to see. And he does a lot of this. And then
to your point, Charlie, it's good to look at it, right? So he's really giving us some interesting data points. And to your point, it's about how you choose to interpret that data.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the final point from Troy here is a quote from Ed that he gives us from Ed Yardeni. Ed Yardeni is a known and, you know, somewhat respected economist, at least as close to an economist that can get to being respectful here or having respect. This is very interesting, and it contradicts much of what many believe. And Sam, if you would read for us what is underlined him here, that's what's important.
No, this was interesting. So what he's saying here, the underlined part in particular, Charlie, is interest rates most likely will remain historically low for a very long time. And what he's talking about here really are economic consequences of demographic trends. Which to me was very interesting. I don't know how you read through that, but I was kind of blown away by this.
Yes, it's very, very interesting. And especially when you take China and you add Japan, and we know the Western Europe has had very low birth rates for some time now. Okay.
Right.
And he talks about that and how that is going to result, together with other things, in very low interest rates for a long time. Now, what is interesting about that, okay, is number one, we want to keep this a secret from the lawmakers, right? Because
right.
they use low interest rates as excuses and even as incentives, okay, to increase the debt so the things will continue to look good till the next election. But, you know, that's not necessarily good for the economy, and it's definitely not good for our children and grandchildren, okay? But let's keep our focus here on investments. So who are the winners of low interest rates? Okay. Well, the winners of low interest rates are stocks, especially dividend paying stocks, high dividend paying investments like real estate investment trusts, business development companies, closed end funds, energy limited partnerships, etc., other equities that pay higher dividends. In addition, companies who grow their dividends, we'll talk about that a little more in just a minute, they're going to be winners there because people are looking for dividend-paying companies when interest rates are low. And businesses looking to expand or dependent upon loans for their sales because interest rates make it easier to expand and do things, and businesses looking to borrow or buy back their own stock, as so many have done in the past few years. Now, those are the winners, okay? The losers are, one, savers, because you're not getting paid.
Which makes sense, right?
Yeah, the losers are savers, and savers have lost since, 2008, okay? Number two, pension plans, and in particular, public pension plans, okay? They need to invest their money. They need typically to get about 7% in order to handle their cash flow, growth, and other requirements. Well, if you can't do that in safe, secure, fixed income investments, you have to go higher out on the yield curve. And that's what they're having to do. I've heard many of them say it at various conferences I've attended. They're not comfortable taking on that additional risk, okay? But they say, well, we have no choice. We've got to do it. And so the public pension plans especially, they've been significantly underfunded, and that's going to continue to be an issue, and it'll probably be exacerbated. Also, lower fixed income yield means these plans will need to, as we just mentioned, invest higher on the risk curve, and it'll be a real challenge. So those are the potential winners and losers in that, and this is very interesting. It flies in the face of what many economists and other people are talking about. But the kinds of things you can discover with a guy like Troy Bombardia, it's great.
Oh, it is. Well, I'll tell you, the other thing too, Charlie, is most of our audience does have some type of 401k plan. They're often interested in thoughts and views on how to allocate those funds. Now, given what we've experienced year to date in the various markets, what are your thoughts on asset allocation in these 401k plans?
I love it when people ask my opinions, Sam. My kids never my wife never did. Okay. So what we do is we recommend that people have a range for each type of investment, that they have a range that they're going to invest a certain percentage of their income in that. And so we recommend that as a percentage of the maximum, here's what they do over the next quarter. So for U.S. equities, basically S&P 500, we recommend a little higher amount than before, 60 to 75% of their maximum allocation. So the markets were down last year, and what goes down very often comes up. We see the first half of the year as being somewhat slow, and in fact, possibly very slow, but the second half of the year to be very strong. And so we see a 60 to 75% maximum allocation. For fixed income, we haven't liked fixed income for years, so anybody can just skip that if they want to, or put a minimum amount. Real estate investment trust, we like about 60% of maximum allocation, which again is an increase over what we've been recommending in the more recent past. Last August, REITs hit their highs, and we see them headed back there, and they've already started to head back there. Gold, we see a 50% of maximum allocation. It's already up 8.5% from its lows in late September, and we look like heroes for that, and we'll take credit, okay? See gold, about a 50% maximum allocation. The Eurozone, 30 to 50%, currently just starting to bounce back from big losses. But again, when you have big losses, that increases the opportunity. People are looking for value. People are looking for, bargains and opportunities. When you have big losses, that's what happens. So we see in emerging markets, 20 to 40%, same kind of thing. And cash. In the past, we have said, nothing wrong with being in cash right now, but we'd recommend now a little, if people have significant amount of cash, that they, redeploy some of that. We shouldn't be too conservative, because we see, again, for the entire year, not necessarily for the next 3 months, we see opportunity in equity type investments, both in the international and local. And that doesn't mean we go out and get wild and crazy, but these are opportunities here. So we shouldn't hesitate to keep dollars at work in either Eurozone or emerging markets, certainly U.S. Equities, etc., because one or more of them are likely to bounce back fairly well in 2019. And to remind everyone here, Sam, these are not recommendations. They're simply how we see market opportunities today. Things change, and so nobody should look at this in March or September and say, oh, okay, well, let's go ahead and do this. This is the kind of thing somebody needs to be updated on, and they need to get professional advice. But that's what we see in the markets.
Okay, good guidance, Charlie, as always. And again, I know you're mentioning an investment approach that does come with some books. Tell us about these.
Well, Sam, we always like to do this. We like for self-directed investors. Here are things that we read and we're aware of that we're happy to pass along. One book and one newsletter this time. The Single Best Investment, okay, Creating Wealth with Dividend Growth. So they're recommending dividend growth, companies that grow their dividends. Not necessarily companies that pay the highest dividends, but companies that grow their dividends. And that and they make both of these make very compelling points that, hey, if you want good investments over the years, we're talking about buy and hold kinds of things, okay? Investments. If you want good ones, find companies who are increasing their dividends because historically they're the ones who have outperformed over the years. We have interviewed two people from Lowell Miller, and by the way, they're a great company. It does things in a variety of different markets, etc. And their claim to fame is they are located downtown Woodstock, New York, and so probably. Okay. Jimi Hendrix's ghost is we've interviewed two people from their company, not the author of this book, but two others. People can find them on Strategic Investor Radio and listen, and very interesting. And then there's Brett Owens. He has a Hidden Yields newsletter. We're subscribers to the newsletter. By the way, Single Best Investment, I've read it. Highly recommend it. Lots of great ideas. And Brett Owens, Hidden Yields newsletter, same idea. Hey, you want to do well over the coming years in investing? Find companies who are increasing their dividends. So to the degree that that's helpful, we're happy to pass that along to our listeners here.
I love it, Charlie. And it's funny, I had an MBA professor who told me that her mom would go on cruises with the dividends that she was getting from her stocks. So I love this advice. Thank you, as always, for the insights today. And we hope our listeners will take the opportunity to access the podcast at Strategic Investor Radio and create opportunities for their own investments. As always, Charlie, thanks so much for the information and the insights.
Sam, thank you for your patience in keeping it lively and interesting. We're always appreciative of your contributions and the touch of class that you bring to our presentations.
Well, thank you, Charlie. And we'd like to thank all of you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. So may we offer our best wishes for a most enjoyable